chapter 11. The message today is the preparation of the Passover. John 11:54. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but departed thence into the country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there he tarried with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. 12:1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover. Now turn to Luke 22. Verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now 1 Corinthians 5, concerning the sin that was in Corinth, it says in verse 2, and you were puffed up, and did not rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And in chapter 11, verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, if he discern not the body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the occasions that thou hast memorialized for us. So many things have been done by your creatures since you made man upon the earth, and some of the things that they have done, the good things you have recorded for us, and some of the religious observances that they observed you have recorded for us. We thank you for this, our God. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that is our desire this morning, that we might learn. So our Father, especially today, concerning the Passover, we pray that we might learn. Thou knowest our hearts. Has not Jeremiah told us concerning them that they are deceitful and desperately wicked? Only you can know them, our God. And for that reason, as you have promised, if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive. If we cleanse, we confess our sins. And our Father, who is sufficient to reach the hearts of men, thou hast described them also as an adamant stone. So our Father, by thy Spirit, reach the hearts of those who are listening. And what lips are capable of proclaiming the word worthily and as it should be? That you can do all things through your servants if Christ enable it. So grant that this morning. We look to as if it were. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It was an appropriate scripture that I read to you because it said that it was 6 days before the Passover. You're not aware of it, but the one time the word Easter occurs in the Bible, in the book of Acts, it is the word Passover that I read to you in all the other places. The word Pascha, but they translated it Easter. And because of that, we use the word Easter, that in Acts it is the Passover. And what we have as Christians is the Lord's Supper, and there are ever so many similarities between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. That's another reason why it was appropriate that the scriptures should be read. And what is most remarkable, those that would say, we're not under law, but under grace. And I ask you, well, what is ours, the Lord's Supper or the Passover? You would say, the Lord's Supper. That is why I read to you in 1 Corinthians 5 that Christ, our Passover, has also been sacrificed for us. What is the difference between the Passover and the Lord's Supper? It is this. The Passover was that feast that God instituted that looked forward to a Savior who should come, the Lamb of God who should come and take away the sin of the world. That was the significance of the Passover. The Lord's Supper is that feast that God has instituted that looks back to the Lamb of God who did come and who did take away the sin of the world. Now, the Jews were not aware of that. The Jews, in their commemoration of the Passover, looked back to what they were and what their forefathers were in the land of Egypt. That little did they realize that what they looked back upon was a picture of the condition of the world when Christ, God's true Lamb, should come. And for that reason, the Passover was not only a picture of the past, depicting what they were in their bondage, in their slavery, and God's deliverance of them by power and by blood, but it was also a prophetical picture of the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. But now, the Passover no more is the ritual that we as Christians follow, because the same night when the Passover occurred, the Lord's Supper superseded it, and the very elements of the Passover were used to institute the Lord's Supper. And so the transition was so subtle that it was hardly noticed, and if they looked at the bread that had been eaten, it had also been eaten at the Passover, and the fruit of the vine that was drunk, it was also the fruit of the vine that was used to commemorate the Passover. And so there are many similarities. Think of this now. The Jews never realized it, but when they ate of the flesh of the lamb that was slain at the Passover, that was a picture of eating the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of the lamb that was slain, that was put on the lintels and on the doorposts, was a picture of the blood of their Messiah who should come, that was to be slain, that was poured out at Calvary. They did not know that. They simply looked back and thought of an experience in Egypt that God was prophesying in this ritual something that was going to occur in the fullness of time when he sent his son and offering for sin. And now we take the Lord's Supper and the bread that we broke this morning. Instead of eating the flesh of the lamb as they did in the Passover, we eat the bread. And the Lord Jesus said, this is my body. And as the blood was taken of the lamb and put on the lintel and the doorpost. So the Lord Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And therefore, we drink of the cup, which recalls to us that the blood of Christ was shed on Calvary. Now, the difference between the Passover and the Lord's Supper is this. The Passover looked back to what Israel was in Egypt in the past. It was a prophecy of what would occur in the future when the Messiah came. The Lord's Supper is that which looks back to what the Messiah did accomplish at Calvary. But at the same time, it looks forward to his coming again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It is a temporary thing. The Passover was a temporary thing until the Lord Jesus would come and fulfill the Passover. And the Lord's Supper is a temporary thing until the Lord Jesus himself shall come. And no more bread symbolizing his body, no more the fruit of the vine symbolizing his blood. But Christ himself shall come, and as he showed to Thomas his hands and feet, we shall understand that our Savior has shed his blood. And so it is most appropriate that I read the scriptures that I do, and to tell you about those scriptures, because I've shown you the similarities between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And there were definite requirements concerning the Passover before it could be observed. And there are definite requirements concerning the Lord's Supper before it can be observed. Now, some Christians listening to this would say, it does not concern me in the least, because even though I trusted Christ as Savior, I do not come to the Lord's Supper. Therefore, I do not have to fulfill the requirements. I've read those requirements, and I've read the dangers of attending the Lord's Supper without the fulfillment of those requirements. I do not come to the Lord's Supper. Understand this, that in Numbers chapter 9, as well as in Hebrews chapter 10, there is this similarity. There were some who did not observe the Passover. But when they did not observe the Passover, they went to Moses and said, we desire to observe the Passover. Why are we prevented from observing the Passover? Now, all of you who were not here at the Lord's Supper this morning, you who profess to be children of God, why were you not here? The ones in Numbers 9 who did not partake of the Passover, they went and protested to Moses and said, we want to partake of the Passover. The reason we did not was because circumstances made it impossible. Think of that. I said that there was a similarity in Hebrews chapter 10, because there it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in the Old Testament, there were those who did not partake of the Passover, but they could say this, we were unclean by reason of a dead man. In the New Testament, there were some who forsook the assembling of themselves together, but they had no excuse. It said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Those in Numbers chapter 9 said, we do not want to miss the observance of the Passover. And God did this for them. He instituted another time that they who had been unclean, not because of themselves, but because of circumstances, that they could come not in the first month on the 14th day, but in the second month on the 14th day, between the two evenings, they could come and observe the Passover. Now understand this, that the Israelites had no option. It was not, as some of you say, well, there is the Lord's Supper, but I do not think I will go today. And some of you say this, I'm not going to the Lord's Supper because there are too many dangers involved if my heart is not prepared when I go there. And so I'm not going. But the Israelites, God said this, if you do not attend the Passover, you are to be cut off from the children of Israel. If I do not go,
I am going to be cut off.
But what if I go in my uncleanness to the Passover? God said, you will be cut off from the children of Israel. So you say, well, the only thing to do was to go and be prepared when I went. Why, of course. And some of those who are here, who have confessed openly that Christ is their Savior, He is their Lamb that died on the cross for them, they think they have an option. They think that they can observe the Lord's Supper or not observe the Lord's Supper. But God puts it this way, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How lightly we take it. We say, oh, we missed the Lord's Supper this morning. God said, you forsook the Lord's Supper this morning. And as there were penalties for negligence in the old, so there are penalties for negligence in the new. You cannot sin and go there in your sins at the Lord's Supper. But you cannot sin by refraining to go to the Lord's Supper with impunity. So there was no option. And once you have trusted the name of Christ for salvation, it is not, shall I remember the Lord or shall I not? But it is, you must remember the Lord. This do, the Savior said, in remembrance of me. As often as ye do it in remembrance of me. So once you take the name of Christ, it is no longer optional, the life that you live. Paul said, the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that you now live in the flesh is not yours. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You are free, but you are free from Satan as a master. And you are now God's slave. And that's what Paul boasted about. He would write in his epistles, Paul, a servant, but the word is doulos, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the most glorious occupation that a man can have. To be able to say, Jesus Christ is my master. He is my Lord. And this is how God would have us to look upon it in the New Testament. For that reason, we cannot say to the Lord, I do not choose to remember you this morning. The Savior knows you. Lord, Lord. He said, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? So there is no such thing, once you profess faith in Christ, as not remembering your Lord. And there is no such thing as remembering your Lord with sin in your life once you have trusted Christ as Savior. But we do. You sin if you do not remember the Lord. And you sin if you remember the Lord without being prepared. And that is why I read to you John chapter 11. It said that when the Passover was about to come up, it said many of the Jews from the country went up to Jerusalem before the Passover that they might purify themselves. Thank God for such people. And if it met my life, you who came to the Lord's Supper this morning, if you knew, if I had to know that you had to spend time purifying yourself, that you examined your life completely, and you knew you came with all confessed sin, nothing was wrong between you and your brother, I wouldn't have to worry about a thing. Sin is at the Lord's Supper. Not only sin outwardly, but sin inwardly. And this is the thing that God said, it shall not be. And so while we are ridiculing the Jews, saying, why, this Passover is a feast of the Jews. Thank God, some of them took it seriously. And it said they came up before the Passover that they might purify themselves. And this is something that those who are Christians fail to do. And yet they say, I must be loyal to my Lord. I cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but I cannot bring myself to purify myself. But you must, because there is as much penalty for remembering the Lord impurely as there is for not remembering the Lord because you are impure. There is no option. Christians do not realize this. But the same Savior who said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he said this, after they are baptized, There is no such thing in the scripture as an unbaptized Christian. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And there is no such thing as an evangelist who goes and preaches the gospel of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Repent and be saved. The Lord Jesus said, having made them disciples, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And therefore, once you trust Christ as Savior, your life is not your own. And you cannot continue in sin. And if you do continue in sin, you say, well, I will stay away from the judgment of God by not observing the Lord's Supper. God will judge you for the sins of omission as well as the sins of commission. And this is what Christians fail to understand. Oh, I'm not going to the Lord's Supper and be judged. Then stay away from the Lord's Supper and be judged. You are not your own. It's like this. It's like a servant who should have prepared for the day's work of his master, but not having prepared it, not knowing what to do and how to do it, he thinks he's going to escape punishment by saying, well, since I do not know how to carry out my master's will today, I will not go to work today, and therefore I will not be punished. For his master will punish him for not working that day, as well as punish him for working that day improperly, not according to what God had instructed him to do. And so how easy it is to be a Christian. Listen to all the faithful evangelists. Thank God for them. But all they seem to preach to you is this. Just believe, believe. And after that, give no more thought about your Christian life. That is just the beginning. If you trust Christ as Savior, it's like this. Immediately, when the blood was shed in Egypt, immediately they prepared to leave Egypt and go to the promised land. And that is what God expects of all the children of God. You say, I'm freed from the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt and sin. Well, God says, then let your face be in the direction of the Holy Land. But some are quite willing to stay in Egypt and boast that the destroying angel passed by over them. God knows no such thing. He wants you to leave Egypt. He wants you to cross the Red Sea. He wants you to go through the wilderness. And he wants you to come to the promised land. That is the will of God for you. And there are some who, if they could, like Lot's wife, they would look back and embrace Sodom. And there are some, like the ones in the wilderness, who thought about the difficulty of the way. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We remember how things were there. And in the promised land, when they saw the obstacles, the enemies that they had to fight, they became cowards. And it said they never possessed all the land that God intended them to give. And so we look at the Jews and we ridicule them for their failures. And God looks at us and says, we are no better because God has great expectations of us. And so these Jews that we criticize, let us understand that they went up before the feast of the Passover to purify themselves. Now I wonder if we Christians have done that. There is a feast, and not only did they have to come in a certain way, it was never an option that they come. There were 3 feasts in the year that God said, you must attend. And he said, and when you come, you shall not appear before me empty. Now let me tell you about the feast this morning that we had. We appeared before the Lord empty. Not one priest stood to his feet and worshiped God. We gave thanks for the loaf and we gave thanks for the cup. Not one brother as priest stood to his feet and worshiped God. We gave our hymns, we preached the scriptures, not one stood to his feet and worshiped God. God said in John 4, his son told us, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It said, for God seeketh such to worship him. And therefore, if we come and sing the songs that another brother has thought of, another sister has thought of, and if we read the scriptures that the other brothers have written, thank God for that. That's part of the meeting. But God said, I'm seeking worshipers. And when the worshipers, concerning this Passover and concerning the feast that God ordained, he said, you have to appear before me. And you have to appear before me with a basket full. You have to bring something to me. And so the Lord's Supper again places the responsibility upon us. We come out and we hope that something shall come down from heaven to us. And God says, well, when you come out, I hope that something from earth will come up to me. Because when the word is preached, that is God speaking to us. But when we worship God, that is we speaking to God. And God says, let me hear thy voice. And why do you think that God has ordained the priesthood? One thing that we glory in among those that gather to the name of the Lord is that there is no clergy and no laity. We are all a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, and we have offered spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the great opportunity that is ours. Now, concerning the feast of old, God said this, you shall not appear before me empty. You must appear before me. They had to be there, and they had to bring something when they came. You say, why, that would take me the whole week. That is what God intends it to take, the whole week. If a man was going to take a basket of fruit before God, do you think by having the basket that all the fruit of his garden and farm would automatically come into the basket? You say, no, he would remember that apple tree. He would remember those olives. He would remember, and he would go and pick the choice, one for God, and put it in his basket, and then he could bring it to God. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And so if we come and say, well, a hymn has been going through my mind, or some scriptures have been going through my mind, that's one thing. But come with worship in your heart. Know the scriptures, and then come and appeal to God by the Spirit to give you utterance that you might worship him in spirit and in truth. Because a remembrance meeting is not one thing or another thing, but it is a combination of things. It is the scriptures, yes. It is singing, yes. But it is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And that is why it was so commendable that these Jews went up before the feast to purify themselves. They already had something to give because they could not observe the Passover unless they had a lamb. It had to be without spot and without blemish. It had to be according to the prescription that God had given. They had to have that. But at the same time, they had to have something more. They had to have pureness of heart. And some, thank God, some a week before went up to purify themselves. And considering our lives, how long would it take you to clean up your life before you could worthily come and remember your Lord? Some of us say, well, if I sin Saturday night, I'll offer up a quick prayer, and then that will cleanse me. If you observe how long it took them to be purified in the book of Numbers and in the book of Leviticus, you would discard such thoughts as those. If a man were unclean, in the case of Numbers 9, it took him a week before he could be purified. And that is why they could not observe the Passover in the first month. It may have been that 3 days before the Passover they were defiled, but it took 7 days before they could become cleansed. And yet we can indulge in sin throughout the whole week. And we think that Saturday night we can offer up a quick prayer and then come to the remembrance meeting and say, I have nothing to fear before God. I wish that I could set before you the example of the apostles as those who had beforehand prepared themselves for the Passover. But they were not prepared for two reasons. Why in John chapter 13 do you think that the Savior had to rise from the table? The Lord of glory rise from the table, lay aside his garments and gird himself with a towel and wash the disciples' feet. Because they were not prepared to have the Passover in a worthy manner. They were not prepared outwardly, and they were not prepared inwardly, because you'll read in the Gospel of Luke that they were contending one with another who was the greatest. And so there were things that were wrong with them outwardly. Their feet were defiled. They needed to be washed outwardly. But at the same time, their hearts were defiled. And what is so sad about the Jews was this. The other section of the Jews. It was this, that they came and outwardly they were purified. Because when they were putting Jesus to death, It said they did not want to go into the presence of Pilate, lest they should become defiled and not eat the Passover. You see, you can have murder and hatred in your heart, and it's all right. But you can't come around a Gentile, a place of uncleanness. And therefore, they were quite willing to be cleansed outwardly, ceremonially. But inwardly, they were not prepared to be cleansed. And that was the trouble with the hearts of the disciples. To go, and the Lord Jesus had washed their feet, so thank God outwardly they were cleansed. But inwardly, that was something between them and God. And this is what is a grievance to the heart of God. The preparation of the Passover. About a week you have now before what we call Easter, Christ our Passover. And you have a week to get your life cleaned up. And I hope that spiritually you shall be as attractive as you shall be next week materially when you come out with all your new finery. But God says you've got a week now to prepare, to purify yourself for this Lord's Day. And that is what God wants. Let us follow the example of the Jews that went up before the Passover to purify ourselves. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great challenge that is ours, having trusted Christ as Savior. Our God, what more is required of a man than believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? That will give us salvation. But I was spoken also about the things that accompany salvation and how great they are. Our Father, thou dost not speak about a 100-yard dash, but thou dost speak about the race that is set before us. And so, our God, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and let us be clean when we come before thee. And our Father, let us not be like the manner of some is, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but let us, like those Jews, go up early to the feast to purify ourselves, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us be the men and women of God that you would have us to be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.